accomplished in the private sector and not the army. Now, let's see if he's here. I believe he's here. And Dr. Moore. Oops, I don't think we connected. Hold on a second. Let me try that again. Dr. Moore.
Joe, I can hear you.
Okay, you can hear me. I finally got you on.
There we go.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining Liberty Talk Radio. We considered it, and I mean this sincerely, an honor to have you on our show.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on.
Yep. The Reason Foundation has done a fabulous job. In fact, I subscribed to Reason in the interest of full disclosure. Many years ago, I was reading so many things, I let us lapse, but I recently resubscribed to Reason, so I'm on your side now. I'm one of you guys.
Okay.
I was just telling our audience that how we connected was I commented on an interview that you were having regarding privatization of roads, a subject that bamboozles everyone. They can say, well, you know, as free market as I am, I can understand why the government must control roads, you know. And I said, well, you know, that can't be right. And in the little investigation that I've done and study I've been done, it doesn't have to be government. In fact, could be private. But the perception that people have is that you have the existing structure, and all of a sudden, you turn it over to some large corporation who's going to charge you $50 to go down your own street. You know, that's the perception.
Right.
Yeah. Could you please just, from the basics, the Dick and Jane stuff, you know, from Dick and Jane on, tell us,
right. How
does this work? How do we convert what we have now? And when new roads are being built, and they could be built by anyone, whether it be government or industry, you know, how that would affect our transportation system, and I'll give it to you.
Okay. Yeah, you know, you're right that even among, you know, free market folks and, you know, and libertarians, a lot of them, you know, balk a little bit at the idea of private roads, which has always struck me as curious because lots of other you know, what you call natural monopolies or things where there isn't necessarily two choices are provided by the private sector. You know, think about electricity. Most people in America, you know, get their electricity from a monopoly private company that's regulated by the government. Water, about a third of the United States gets its water from a private company that's regulated by the government because it's a monopoly. So why roads are necessarily any different, it has never made any sense to me. And it's easy to sort of envision, especially given the alternative. I always say when people are looking at should we change a certain policy or a certain system, well, think about compared to what. And we all know that the current system we have is pretty dysfunctional. I mean, the government spends a lot of the money we pay for roads on things that have nothing to do with roads, you know, railroad museums and duck ponds and other nonsense. They spend it wastefully. We have terrible congestion in our cities because they don't manage the transportation system right. They don't spend the money wisely. So really, if we were paying a private company to provide those roads, you know, it's hard to imagine we could be any worse off than we are.
Correct.
Which doesn't make the transition to private roads easy. You know, privatizing the road system is a fairly complex thing. We've kind of been going at it a little bit. In the last 10 years, a fair amount of the new roads that have been built, I should say the new highways that have been built, have been done as some form of toll road and usually as a form of public-private partnership. So having the private sector build new roads and charge people for them is not that outlandish in America right now. So we're making some progress.
Well, most people, when you reference privatization of roads, they think of a toll road which may be near their place of residence and complain that they say, you know, at one time that used to be a free road, or I used to go to work for free, and now I have to pay 75 cents each way, and, you know, I'm getting ripped off. Now, how do you answer to someone right. like that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I ask people, well, how much do you think you currently pay to use the roads? And most people have no idea. In fact, I was part of a group that sponsored a video contest that asked college students to go out and make videos about interviewing people on the street to try to find out if people knew how much they pay for transportation, which is another great disadvantage of the current government system. We know how much we pay for groceries. We know how much we pay for our house. We know how much we pay for our entertainment, for our hobbies, you know, for our electricity. We all know what that is. But none of us know how much we pay for transportation because it's all hidden. We pay gas taxes. We pay tire taxes. We pay vehicle registration fees. We pay driver license fees. All these things add up. And I would love to just, like, pay my road bill like I pay my electricity bill and know how much I'm spending. And when I go make a trip, know how much it costs me to drive to work if I live in this house instead of this, that house. Know how much it costs me to go on this vacation or what have you. Instead, right now, I do it, and I kind of am really not aware of how much it costs. Right. So the idea that it's free is ludicrous. Of course, right. it's paid for with tax dollars, and you are paying those tax dollars if you're using an automobile or if you're using public transit. You're paying some of it, and then the people who use the roads in their cars are paying the rest of it.
Correct.
So you're being subsidized by road users.
Right. What's interesting, Dr. Moore, is the fact that we are being taxed via excise taxes, et cetera, you know, depending on your locale and your income tax to pay for the roads. But the sorrowful scenario is that that money that should be set aside for the roads, the lockbox for roads, I hate to use that word, so all the money goes in there, gets spent on other boondoggles, and as a result, our roads degrade, and then we have politicians coming up and say, we want to create jobs, and our stimulus package of $700 billion will ensure that that bridge and that road gets fixed. And I go, but wait a minute. Whatever happened to the money that was set aside to fix the road in the first place? And no one thinks about that.
Right. Yeah, and that is, you know, a continuous and ongoing policy fight and political and tax fight we face all over the country. Basically, you're right. From the federal government building bridges to nowhere on down through the system, there's no pressure on the government to do a very cost-effective job with the gas taxes and the other fees we pay that go into the road system. So we shouldn't be surprised that there's a lot of waste. And not just waste, but they're not very efficient because there's no pressure to be because there's no competition.
Right.
And that's sort of a standard truism about government spending. So there is a huge variance among the states. Some states are relatively more efficient, and some states, like New Jersey and California, to name the bottom two, are outrageously inefficient.
Yeah.
Some states like Texas and North and South Dakota are relatively efficient for government. So there's variance there, but they still spend a lot of the money, like you say, on things that are completely unrelated. They make their decisions based on politics. They're the government. That's how governments work. That's why so much money gets spent on public transit relative to roads. I mean, I'm not necessarily going to get bogged down in the argument about whether public transit has any merit for public spending at all. But the fact is, if you've got 1 or 2% of people traveling by transit and you're spending 40% of your money, which is what most of our big cities do, on transit, that's a very unsustainable investment strategy.
Right.
And so they're making these bad decisions with our money, and people don't really have a good mechanism for gauging. They don't know how much they're spending into it. They don't pay that much attention to what they're getting for it. They just know that the system currently doesn't work. They know they're stuck in congestion and the government's doing nothing about it.
Right. But what they can do is they can go occupy Wall Street, and that'll let off some steam. They don't realize all part of it. Let us just stop just for a second for station identification, okay? And we'll be right back. Just hold on, please.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure Libertarian Talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio. We are pleased to have Dr. Adrian Moore from the Reason Foundation with us this morning, and I think he's calling in either from the West Coast or the mountain area, right? Are you on the Pacific?
Yeah, I'm actually in Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs. Morning. So that's is that the what do you call it, the Mountain Time? You're not in Pacific Time, are
yeah.
you? Okay, good. So it's only one hour earlier. I was afraid it would be 2 hours early. I was going to feel really guilty for getting you up so early. But we still thank you just as much for being on our program. We're discussing the privatization of roads and the cost, the true cost of government-operated roads that we think are absolutely free, and that's the way it should be. Now, we do ask you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. 4496. That's 888-773-4496. Now, many of you call into one of our platforms on Blog Talk Radio, and that still is 646-652-4620. You can use either telephone number. It's fine with us. Doesn't make any difference. And your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Please, we have several people on the line all listening and all wanting to ask a question now. Would you like to take a question at this point?
Sure.
Okay, let's see. We will. Who was here first? Okay, this person was here first. Okay. Area code 765. Good morning. Thank you for calling Liberty Talk Radio. Your first name and your question or comment, please.
Yeah, this is Sky, and I just have a question. Is there a percentage of how many of these roads are now privatized? I'm talking about your interstates. And the reason I'm asking is I live in Indiana, and we leased our toll road. And we leased it for like, you know, $3.8 billion and for like 75 years or something like that. And then the way it goes down is, like, in the first 9 years, the company that bought it has to put in, like, $600 million worth of improvements on the road. And of course, they're going to – this will help the rest area, you know, with the new – you know, the eateries, you know, whatnot, you know, like that. And then their rate – they're pretty much going to control their rates. They're going to be up, like, 2%, you know, every now and then. And it's going to be regulated. So, you know, on paper, it looks like it's a pretty good deal. And I was wondering if you had any figures of how much of this is being done throughout the nation.
Yeah, the in terms of percentages of the whole, we don't really know what that is. It's a very small percentage of the whole. In more recent years, I mentioned early in the program, in the last 10 years, about one-third of all the new freeways that have been built, so the kind of roads that, you know, you have to use ramps to get onto, have been built as some form of public-private partnership. So it's a big part of building new roads in the U.S., but it's still a very, very small part of the total road system. The Indiana toll road privatization is a great example. So like you said, it's a long-term lease to a private company who was able to upgrade the system. The state never could come up with the money to convert to entirely electronic tolling, and they never had the money to maintain the road adequately. So the private sector upgraded the system and is able to maintain the road. The tolls that they charge are regulated by the state, and they paid a huge upfront share of their profits, basically, to the state, and the state, Mitch Daniels, put that in a fund to where the state could take out a certain amount each year to expand their transportation program on all the other roads in the state. So a pretty reasonable system of privatization, and in contrast to Chicago, which at around the same time privatized a toll road there for much the same reason, to upgrade the system, improve the maintenance, go all electronic, which the private sector did. The difference is the city took all the money that they were paid up front as their share of the profits up front, or the share of the profits that the private company paid them in order to get them to sign the deal, and spend it on whatever the political leadership wanted to spend it on right now. So they didn't. They sold that publicly owned asset, that taxpayer owned asset, and then spent the money on political goals today rather than to benefit the taxpayers who owned the infrastructure in the first place. Indiana was much more financially responsible in the way it did it.
Okay, yeah, you're talking about the Skyway, I assume?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to worry. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Sky, thank you very much for calling Liberty Talk Radio.
Yeah, thanks for the question.
Okay, and we'll take our next caller. Let's see. I think this person here. Okay. Caller, area code 918. You're on the air. Your first name, please, and your question or comment for Dr. Moore.
Good morning. This is Jim from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Morning, Dr. Moore. I find this topic interesting. First of all, as an Oklahoma resident, I can attest to a lot of the inefficiencies and craziness of having government make all the decisions regarding roads. First of all, we have a toll road system in addition to all the other taxes and regulatory things regarding transportation. But those of us in the Tulsa area feel that the capital in our state is Oklahoma City, where obviously the legislators make decisions on highways and roads. And a lot of people cynically feel that Oklahoma City has been one of the most elaborate highway systems in and around our capital city. And some of these are highways that seem to be roads to nowhere that get very seldom used. Jokingly, some people say some of these highways they think are just nothing more than driveways to the houses of our legislators. And it just seems, again, once you get politics involved in making these decisions, I guess anything can happen. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, one of the things that separates the most efficient from the least efficient states in terms of transportation is how politicized the decision-making is. And in some states, you know, it's pretty outrageous. You know, you look at certain projects and it's obvious that there's no – it's not a performance-based decision. They're not basing which roads they build and where they do improvement projects on what will give the most people the most benefit. Instead, it's some – outcome of some horse trading deal that the legislature put together, you know, you get this in your district if I get this in my district kind of nonsense. And so, you know, it's hugely wasteful.
You just know that some of that political shenanigans goes on with road decisions just as it does with everything else that they legislate and discuss. So, again, as an Oklahoma resident, it's very visible between the two major cities and how they've designed and built roads. I did have a question. Actually, two quick questions, and I'll take them off the air. First is, do you know what within our highway and road infrastructure, what percentage the federal government funds and offers grants to states? Is it strictly the interstate system? We have an I-44 that runs through our state that the feds have helped fund, but the another thing with government-sponsored programs is they take forever to build. You know, they're just not very efficient, and the lack of progress and, you know, dealing with orange barrels for years is just ridiculous. So, again, I'm curious to know if you know the percentage of funds between federal and the state and local governments to build and support our road system, And then secondly, I hope before you get off the air, you'll share with us a little bit about the Reason Foundation and how we can contact you or subscribe to any of your services. And again, I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you very much.
Jim, Jim, before you go off the air, leave us, I love the expression, the orange barrel syndrome. you can start a whole movement on that. You know that. Thank you very much for calling in to Liberty Talk Radio, Jim.
Right.
And we'll have Dr. Moore answer your question now. Thank you very
you
much.
You bet. Okay.
Right, bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That is so neat.
Jim. I like that phrase, too. So in terms of the way the federal funding works, the federal government provides about 25% of all the transportation funds that are expended in the U.S. The idea has always been that their primary purpose of those funds is to fund each state to maintain the sections of the interstate system and the federal highway system that are in their state. In fact, because it's Congress that allocates those funds, you won't be surprised that that's also politically driven rather than driven by where the transportation needs are the most. So states essentially lobby the federal government to get more federal funds and spend a lot of their time and effort trying to get more federal funds rather than a process that would sort of allocate those funds by where maintenance needs are the greatest, where interstate systems need to be expanded or what have you. And Congress loves to spend money to pet projects, not just earmarks, but also just funding a lot of non-highway transportation systems because, you know, the left loves to fund public transit. High-speed rail is getting a lot of our gas tax dollars these days and so on. In terms of Reason Foundation, so Reason Foundation is a libertarian think tank and journalism organization. Our websites are www.reason.com, which is where Reason Magazine lives and where all of our journalism is. We also have reason.tv, which is where our video journalism is. And then we have reason.org, which is where all of our policy work is. And that's where I work, is in the policy division, where we try to figure out how to help government officials actually shrink the size of government when we can find ones that are interested in doing so.
Very good. Now, I think the main question or the main criticism that you'll find from the public, and we do have more callers, but we're going to take a break from our callers just for a second to get this in. Caller, please hold on. Please hold on just for a second. They say, you know, you got to be nuts. You mean, who's going to build a road in front of my house? You know, and if they did, they would charge me to get out of my driveway. What are you, crazy? Only the government could do that. Now, that's the typical response. Jesse Ventura made a big deal about that on television, which if you were listening earlier, I made a big deal about that as well, and I responded to it, you know, in kind. However, you know, but how do you make roads private? You have a place, and a road needs to be built. Who builds it? I mean, how do you convince people who are uneducated, basically, on libertarian principles to even transcend from government roads to even the possibility of a private road? How do you do that?
Well, that is the tricky part. I mean, in terms of that road in front of your house, that's kind of ironic, since the vast majority of people live in a housing development, you know, in the suburbs or some form of housing in the suburbs, where the road in front of the house was built by the private sector. When developers build developments, they have to build the roads too. The city or the county builds the sort of the main roads that connect those developments into town. So there's already a private sector involvement in building those roads that most people just aren't even aware of.
That's okay.
And so if you started privatizing the roads, you would also privatize the incentives to build those larger roads as well. And they would have to be toll. Everything would have to be paid for.
just like everything's paid for now. He's paying for it. The person who says that is paying for it in his property taxes. He's paying for it in his local sales tax. He's paying for it in his gas tax. He's paying for it when he buys tires. He's paying for it when he gets his driver's license. He's paying for it when he registers his car every year. He just doesn't know that. So part of the bigger question then you get at is, how do we start to make that transition? I think a crucial first part is for people to understand that they're paying for roads now and to appreciate that paying for a road directly is a good thing. So everywhere that a private toll road has gone in America, after the road is in place, the popularity of that road goes up steadily over time. So usually it's an unpopular idea at first because nobody wants to pay a toll.
Right.
And then once it's been around a while and people say, hey, this is a good deal. I pay a certain amount of money every time I'm in a hurry and I get to drive on a road that isn't congested instead of the public road that's heavily congested. And I may not do that all the time, but I always have that option. And people start to appreciate that option, and they learn that paying in the market for a road is a valuable thing. Once they learn that, the idea of privatizing other roads becomes more realistic. So I think that kind of in every city we need to build one private road so people can get used to it is right. Is the necessary first step.
Yeah, there is this perception that let me put it this way. Let me change that altogether, my thought process. It went in the wrong direction. But it's sort of like having the fare tax. The fare tax is basically a sales tax, but at least it gives you the option of whether or not you are going to pay that tax by buying something. Where in income tax, you have no option. I mean, it's taken out of your salary.
Right.
That's it, whether you like it or not. You can elect not to pay a sales tax by not buying something. The same thing here. You can elect not to go out and drive. You can elect to, in fact, walk. You can elect to take your bicycle. You can elect to fly. Take some other form of transportation. But all of these alternative forms of transportation will never be developed once in the perception of the citizen is that that road is free. Once
right.
they realize that road is not free, they say, well, I don't want to pay my $2 or 75 cents or 25, whatever the case may be. I want to, I elect to do something differently. If I do something differently, what would that different thing be? And this is the question that I have in my mind. What would our whole transportation system look like had we not ever had government involved? And of course, that's a mind-boggling thought because we have no idea. Let us just take,
right.
Let us stop for station identification one more time and caller, caller 697. We'll get right back to you after station identification, please. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host for Liberty Talk Radio. We have with us this morning Dr. Adrian Moore of the Reason Foundation. We're very pleased to be discussing with him privatization of roads, a subject that's very difficult for people to comprehend. It is a tough one, I have to admit. So do please call with your questions, 888-773-4496, 888-773-4496. Of course, if you're going through the Blog Talk Radio platform, it's still 646-652-4620. That has not been disconnected. Your comments can come to comments@libertytalkradio.com at any time, and we welcome your comments and criticisms as well and questions. Dr. Moore, one thing, I've got a note here. It says, do you have a radio on in the background where you are?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, they said that someone's hearing a little bit of a radio sound and an echo, so we don't know. Everything looks electronically on our boards. Everything seems to be copacetic, but we seem to be having some interference or echo. We just don't know what to do about it because we're not experiencing here, you or I. It sounds perfectly clear to me, and I'm looking at all the lights and everything, and everything seems to be lit up in the right place, you know?
Yeah, I have been getting a little bit of an echo on my end, so it might be my connection.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll just have to let it go with that. Let's see. They say that there is a delay in your voice. It sounds like a pop or maybe a complete word. It is being broadcasted twice, and I don't know what to do with that. Are you calling us on a cell phone or a landline?
I am on a cell phone.
On a cell phone. Well, we'll just have to let it go with that. We apologize for the broadcast inconsistency. We wish we could do something about it, but right now we can't. So just hold on and bear with us, please. We have one more caller, and then after the caller, I really would like to ask of you, how do you answer to, how does a road actually get built? I mean, you have it in the subdivision, it's paid for by the contractors who build the houses and whatever, but what about the roads that connect all the subdivisions that go downtown, that sort of is a public domain area? Hold on to that thought, but we want to get this. One person's been holding on now for about 20 minutes. Hold on, please. Caller, this is area code 918-697. You're on the air. Your first name, please, and your question or comment for Dr. Moore.
Hi, my name is Pat.
Hi, Pat. Thank you for calling.
I need to know a way to answer my friends who are non-believers as well. How do I explain in 25 words or less this concept to those people who simply are astonished by the concept of non-governmental growth? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, thanks. That's a good question, because I think knowing how to explain it to someone who's not a libertarian, who isn't going to naturally think that having, you know, things privatized is per se a good idea, is important. And the way I always explain it is, look, right now the government is providing the roads and people have no idea how much they are paying or how much is being spent and where it's being spent. If you had a private road system, everyone would know what they're paying, would be able to make choices, and the government would be regulating all of these private monopoly roads. So there would be some oversight, whereas right now it's just the politicians watching each other. So that's generally how I give the very short explanation to people. Now, Joe, on your question, that is the trickiest part. I mean, thinking about how roads get built, like in cities, in a private system, is the hardest part, and which is why that's not where we're going to start. It's going to be freeways and suburban highways that get privatized first, because they're relatively easier to do. And through the learning process we go through having those private, we'll figure out how to do the rest. But most urban areas, the roads that you need are already there.
Right.
And so it's largely a matter of figuring out how the private sector can take over those roads and use an efficient electronic system to charge people for using them instead of this indirect system that the government uses, which is also pretty challenging technologically and otherwise. I mean, one of the funny things about this is that while the use of gasoline taxes is very inefficient, the collection mechanism of gasoline taxes is extraordinarily efficient. It costs less than a penny per dollar in terms of administrative and collection costs for the government to collect the gasoline tax.
Right.
The most efficient private sector electronic pricing system for roads that we know of is more like 10 cents on the dollar right now. So that system needs to get a lot more efficient before you could privatize all the roads, or else administrative overhead would eat up too much of the money we pay.
I see. So so taxing via gasoline is a relatively efficient method to finance the roads.
Yeah, at this time, though, technology is overcoming that. It hasn't quite reached the point where it's as efficient.
But that's
largely due to economies of scale. When you only have one or two private roads in each state, you don't get any economies of scale.
But that sort of makes sense, because if you don't drive, you're not paying for the road. and that's fine. You're not buying gasoline. You're not paying for the road, so you're not using the road. That makes sense to me. Unfortunately, we don't do anything that
well,
way.
Well, you are actually using the road because all of the goods you buy get to the stores that you use
right.
Via the roads, right. And, you know, and the services that you consume too. So we all pay for the roads also in the products that we buy, because everyone who provides us products has to pay gasoline taxes.
Right.
That's part of their cost, and they build that into their prices. So even people who walk to work and walk to the store and very rarely drive or only occasionally use the public transit system still pay in other prices they pay for the transportation system. So it's a very integrated thing.
Okay. All right. I can see that. How do we reduce the anger of people when mentioning this, saying, you want to tax me even more? I'm not going to pay for that road out there right now. You know, it's that mentality that what I have
right.
now is free, and now you want to tax me even more, when the reverse is actually true. I find that, I mean, I don't get this conversation because it's a road to nowhere. I hate to use that metaphor, a road to nowhere, you know?
that's a huge problem because and I find myself in conversations all the time with the government, you know, with Congress and state legislators and governors about this. They say, we need to raise the gas tax. We don't have enough money for transportation. I said, you know, there's zero the reason why you can't raise the gas tax, fortunately, is that people won't stand for it because
right.
they don't have any faith that you're using the money they're already paying well. In fact, they pretty much believe that you're misusing the money that they're already paying. So they're mad. And so when you propose charging a toll, that just makes people more angry because they believe the money they're already spending is being wasted.
Right.
Now you want them to pay more.
Yeah.
And so the crucial thing is you have to say, look, we're talking about building a toll road. Hopefully it's a privately operated toll road
right.
where you're going to know what you're going to pay. You're going to have a choice whether to use it or not and pay it or not.
Yeah.
And that amount that you pay is going to be regulated and transparent, and you will know what's going on, and you will know if that money is being wasted, whereas with the government, you don't know any of those things.
Well,
and
you know,
so
yeah.
you're going to have more control over your destiny in terms of transportation with a private road system than you do with a government one.
You know, and the key word that you used is choice. We no longer, as Americans, have a choice. We just listen, obey,
nope.
and do. And then we're frustrated and we
yeah.
have the Occupy Wall Street, the Occupy, you know, Portland, the Occupy, you know, wherever it is, you know, protests. And people really don't know why they're so angry. Well, they're angry because they have no choice, and they realize that they have to recognize that all of these people are directing their anger against the wrong group. It ain't the Wall Street people. It's the government people who allow Wall Street to do all these things. And I hopefully will change someday. It'll evolve where we'll get a little bit more focus as to who is responsible for all of this, and we'd all be in Washington or our state capitals rather than our financial districts. Anyway, but I'm sorry. I just
Absolutely.
Went on a tangent there. All right. Now, how do we... How are politicians going to relinquish this money grab, you know, that they have now, in favor of private roads, which benefit them not? How do we make that transition? Because they're not going to go for it because they're going to be losing revenues that they can use for projects which get them elected, you know, boondoggles and whatever. How do we make this transition? And, well, by the way, we have about 6 more minutes to go, so this will probably be your last question around that time, and then I'm going to give
okay.
you the opportunity to tell our audience a little bit more about Reason and what you guys are doing and how you can be contacted. Oh, and do not let me forget, Dr. Moore, please send me a mailing address with your T-shirt size. I would love to send you a Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt, okay? For being our guest today.
Oh, okay, great.
Okay. Okay. All right, thank you. I just didn't want to forget that. How do we get the
okay,
politicians?
The, the politicians are never really going to get behind this. And this is the fundamental conundrum we face as libertarians in sort of all walks of what we're trying to accomplish, is that it's very hard to take something back from government once we as a people have let them have control of it. All the forces are going to be aligned against that. And it takes a real, revolution is too strong, but it takes an extremely powerful political and or social movement, in a sense, to pull something back. We're making a little bit of progress on roads. Like I've mentioned, there are more public-private partnership roads being built around the country, largely just because politicians are desperate to build more roads, and they just don't have the money, and they can't raise taxes.
Okay.
And so with no other choice, the very last option they'll take is to let the private sector do it. But unless they're back in that corner, they won't. So to me, the question is, how do we back them into that corner more often? So I see private roads really expanding more as a result of sort of a taxpayer revolt. The more successful we are at not letting them raise our taxes, the more successful we are at making them cut government spending wherever we can force them to do so, the more they're going to be backed in that corner and the more they're going to have to privatize things, including roads.
Yeah, I guess they're going to be forced to do so simply because from a economic and financial point of view, they're going to have very, very little or no option. And maybe that'll turn the tide short of, as you say, outright revolution, which probably wouldn't be such a bad idea today. But we see these little mini revolutions going on. Unfortunately, they're not focused very well. I wish they were focused a little differently. All right. We have a couple of minutes. Would you like to tell our audience a little bit about Reason Foundation, what you guys are doing currently, maybe their participation and how they can contact you?
Yes, absolutely. The catch-all, if you go to www.reason.org, that's the portal to get access to all the things that Reason does. We are a libertarian organization. We've been around for 40 years, and we focus on our motto is free minds and free markets, and our goal is making the government vastly, vastly smaller than it is and expanding personal responsibility. We do that. We have a policy division that focuses on doing research studies and working with government officials who are actually trying to shrink the government and opposing stupid government tricks is what I call them. And then we have journalists. We have video journalists and we have print journalists, writing journalists, who cover all the issues in politics of the day from, a libertarian perspective. So we've been devoted to this idea for a long, long time. We have a lot of fun doing.
Very good. Dr. Moore, I want to thank you once again for being on our program. It was an excellent program. We had plenty of call-ins, a lot of interest in this subject, which sort of surprises me in a way, but I think that made for a great program. We'd love to have you back at a later date, and we do wish that you would accept our invitation at a later date on the same or maybe a different subject.
Yeah, I'd love to be on the show again.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
I did. Thank you.
Okay.
It's great to have callers and questions from people.
It sure does. And don't forget the T-shirt size, okay?
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. Thank you very much for being on our program.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Well, that was terrific. That was an absolutely, absolutely terrific interview. I truly enjoyed it, and I do hope we can have him back again. Very intelligent guy. Everything. I mean, I just enjoyed it. That was one of our best programs. And for those of you who didn't listen, you missed a good program. This is the end of today's program, and we'd like to thank Ranchacres Audiology for the financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Ranchacres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at area code 918-749-7711. Call them for all your hearing needs. You will be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Freedom is like riding a motorcycle, something I'd love to do. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. They control the ride and your every move. Ron Paul has a sign in his desk that says, "Don't steal, folks. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.